Greetings to the crew of the Gaia Navigation Experiment, friends and students scattered across time and space, and anyone else who cares to listen. This is John Lash again for the third NAV briefing on July 7th, 8th, 2012. This is number 16, entitled Channel 16. First off, I want to make a correction of a mistake. It is a pleasure among the Telestai to correct themselves. Self-correction is one of our parts of our discipline, and it's an extremely enjoyable thing to do. I was reporting my observations on the Venus-Jupiter-Pleiades alignment, and I mistakenly spoke as if Venus were Jupiter. This is quite a revealing error, actually. And I'd like to detail for a moment what I have learned from this error. First of all, just let me specify for the record how the alignment actually works. In the morning sky in July 2012, toward the eastern horizon where I'm looking right now, it's 5 a.m. here, the Pleiades rise. First, closely placed just to the left of the Pleiades and slightly below them is Jupiter, which I had mistaken for Venus. Coming down vertically toward the horizon from Jupiter is Venus, which I had mistaken for Jupiter. And then, depending on when you are observing the alignment, the star Aldebaran in the eye of the bull is below Venus. As I observed it for 2 or 3 days, there was almost a perfect vertical alignment of the two planets and the star, with the Pleiades off, set at the top of the alignment. I remarked that Venus, that Jupiter, which I mistakenly I remarked about Jupiter things that are not the case, because I mistakenly took the lower planetary body for Jupiter rather than Venus. As a matter of fact, Jupiter reached the Pleiades on June 16th, as we know, and Jupiter is now extremely close to the Pleiades. Jupiter marks the top of the stem of this alignment, which is like a vertical stem or antenna. Venus is the bright body below Jupiter. Now, Venus actually, in its current position, looks like Jupiter often looks. So my, I haven't been looking at Stellarium to confirm this. And I just crisscrossed the two planets in my mind. But consider what caused me to make this error. Venus now, by far the brightest and largest planetary body in this alignment, looks like Jupiter often looks. And as a matter of fact, I said that when the Earth passes Jupiter on the inside orbital track, Jupiter appears huge in the sky, the size of a grapefruit, to use an exaggerated metaphor. And you can actually see the moons, or almost see the moons. Of course, the Bushmen of South Africa can see the moons with the naked eye. I mean, it's remarkable how gigantic Jupiter looks. And I was saying it's anomalous that Jupiter would look so large when it is being viewed from the Earth, positioned on the opposite side of the sun. Well, of course, Jupiter doesn't look that large. Jupiter looks small, like a star, perched at the apex of the alignment. And Venus has assumed the size that Jupiter sometimes presents. So that was my error, but I must say that despite that error, which many of you would have immediately detected, what I said about the scintillating lights, like electrified confetti, remains true. Now, I'm going to see if I observe it this morning. right now, I mean, the Pleiades are coming up as we speak. It's perfectly dark here now. The moon is overhead at the meridian, but the moon is reaching its fourth quarter, the hinge, and so there is diminishing moonlight. This being so, I ought to be able to observe the formation of the Pleiades as they rise, with Jupiter placed close by to them. This is the signal of the commencement of pleromic relay. Of course, while I'm sitting here looking into the computer screen, interferes with my ability to look at the sky. In any case, I correct that mistake. Now, let's return to the image of pleromic relay, because this is a natural place for me to segue into the subject of Channel 16. You have the archontic metaphor I'm proposing, a 21-point connective cable that joins a VCR player to a TV or screen or monitor. You need the 21-point connection cable so that all the data that comes off the disc in the CD player can be converted into sound and image on the screen, right? Simple enough. We know, however, that there are 21 points in the pleromic relay cable and only 18 points in the Shakti cluster. How then do you envision the full plug-in event of pleromic relay, which is now in effect and will be completed on the 7th of September? To that end, allow me to reiterate for you the full 18-point structure of the Shakti cluster. Now, I know that I have work to deliver on the Shakti cluster, design work, graphic work, and more elucidation of the dynamics. This is part of the teaching of Planetary Tantra and the natural magic of Kala Tantra, which is worked through the five Dakinis, the pentagram star around VV, and so forth and so on. So again, I thank you for your patience, and I have complete faith that this technical teaching of Gaian psychotronics will emerge at the right moment. And I wish for that moment to be not too far away. I certainly hope it's not too far away, because I just spent 15 minutes trying to find the complete list of 18 points of the Shakti cluster on metahistory.org, and I couldn't find it. So if you had a problem with that, then we are all sailing in the same boat, metaphorically speaking. It's really atrocious. If I go on Planetary Tantra, I can't find the place where I listed and named these 18 points in sequence. So obviously I have some work to do. I'll try to remedy this problem in the near future. In any case, I'm going to read in sequence these 18 points. Now, this is not the sequence of the Mahavidyas as they are generally given in Hindu tantricism. This is the sequence of the combination of the Mahavidyas and the Diamond Sky Dakinis. And so each of these numbers is the permanent number of the channel and the Shakti cluster, and you can rely on these numbers and use these numbers consistently from this point out. Channel 1, Kali, Kalima or Mahakala. 2, Tara, specifically the wrathful green Tara. 3, Shodashi. 4, Bhuvaneshwari or Bhudevi. 5. Chinnamasta, the self-beheading Mahavidya. 6. Bhairavi. 7. Dumavati. 8. Bagalamukhi or Idris. We recently had a double shift of Idris leading into the high point or the midpoint of correction. 9. Matangi. 10. Kamala. Now, all those 10 points, which are not in the traditional order of the Mahavidyas, but in the revised order of the Shakti cluster, are on the periphery of the oval of the Shakti cluster. Shakti cluster is an oval standing vertically. At the base of that oval, on the rim, is frequency 9, Matangi. Now we go to the interior structure of the cluster. At the top of the oval, the ellipse form is open. This is the bow of the Shakti cluster, as it were, if you were to look down on it from above and compare it to an egg-shaped vessel. The bow is indented, and in this indent, floating at the top of this indent, at the lead point, is 0.17 of the Shakti cluster. So we jump from 10, which was Kamala, now we jump to 17, simply because that is at the top or leading edge of the Shakti cluster. And as I pointed out, 17 is not a transmitting modality. It is not a frequency for receiving Dakini instruction. It's merely the lightning rod or discharge point on the Shakti cluster. And it is represented by the protective divinity or the guardian of Tertons, Dutro Lamo. The remaining points after the 10th modality, Kamala, are 11, Swan Deva or Naimracha, 12, Vajrayogini, Tantra Mother, 13, Kurukula, 14, Sachamama or Pavanashvari in the Tibetan lingo, 15, Vishvamata, channel 16, 17, which is the grounding point, and 18, which is the channel of transmission and instruction of Vivi herself. So these are the 18 points. My apologies for the Sanskrit and Tibetan jargon. We just needed in the beginning to define inceptively the character and operation of these modalities. I expect that by the time correction is completed, by the time the initial conditions of correction are established in March of 2014, that a good number of these names will be converted to more user-friendly names. As, for instance, Bagalamukhi has become Idris. Naimracha has become Swan Deva, and so forth. I know that these names and this elaborate Sanskrit and Tibetan jargon is off-putting to many people. So I would advise you just to disregard it if it annoys you, and just use the numbers. Just talk about channel 15. Disregard the designation of Vishvamata, if you wish. Okay, now I just want to point out one feature of the structure of the Shakti cluster, and that is the vertical axis, or the spine of it, as you will. If you look at the diagram of the Shakti cluster on Planetary Tantra, if you can find it, you will see that on the vertical axis that bisects the oval, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points. So 6 of the 18 points of the structure are in this powerful vertical alignment. Considering 17 to be the head point, that's the lightning rod or discharge function. Below that, in a really critical position, a kind of in the aperture, at the prow of the Shakti cluster, the prow of the Shakti cluster is an indentation in the oval sphere of turbulence, which is the Shakti cluster, considered as a feature of the electromagnetic field of the Earth. It is like a luminous egg following Castaneda. It is like a turbulent vortex with two centers and a deep indent in the front. And floating in the interior part of that indent is channel 1, Kali. This lies on the vertical channel with 17. Coming down from Kali, channel 18, Vivi's own channel. Coming directly down vertically from that, the mysterious channel 16. Coming down again vertically from that, channel 13, Gurukula. And finally, channel 9, Matangi, which is on the rear or closing edge of the Shakti cluster. This vertical alignment of points in the Shakti cluster is tremendously important to understand, and I do need at some time to elaborate on it more closely. I would just point out for now, however, the importance of the two of one diamond sky Dakini, Kurukula, and one Mahavidya, Matangi. It could well be argued that these two frequencies, entities if you want to call them that, these two aspects of the console are strategically and dynamically more important than the others because they are in the central alignment along with Vivi, Kali, which is the point of emanation of all the Mahavidya frequencies, and the mysterious channel 16. So you get the picture why we talk so much about Matangi. Matangi steers the Shakti cluster. I pointed this out, I believe, in January of 2010, at the moment of the earthquake in Haiti. Matangi and Kurukula, in their position at the rear end of this alignment, at the bottom end of this alignment, as it were, steer the forces of the Shakti cluster. Translating this into a more user-friendly language, what it means is that Matangi and Kurukula are tremendously helpful to Vivi in the massive work of human guidance, the guidance of our species and the guidance of us as individuals in our own orchestrations of destiny is led and dominated by Matangi and Kurukula. I haven't spoken about Kurukula's role in that yet, and it's not appropriate for me to do so until such time as certain rites are performed in the summer of 2012. However, I can point out, as I have before, the role of Matangi. Its paramount importance has certainly seeped into the minds and bodies of some crew members by now. Why is it that not just women feel this intense connection to Matangi? Well, it is primarily women who feel it. She is primarily the guardian, guide, and ally of the Hetaira, the guardian and ally of Gaian Echo warriors of the female gender. She is, for the entire species, the leader of the planetary vision quest. I've explained that in Gaian Tantra, there is a planetary vision quest to be undertaken by every person who enters the practice. In fact, planetary tantra is the planetary vision quest. It is the planetary or planet-wide version of the classical vision quest undertaken in all indigenous cultures, from Australia to Greenland to Siberia to the Native American cultures of North and South America. The classic example, the classic account of the vision quest can be found in the books of Dayani Wahu, who writes for the Cherokee Nation, and in such writings as Black Elk Speaks, or the book of, which I prefer, the book of Lame Deer. So, tremendous importance assigned to Matangi. Most women who come into planetary tantra are Matangi women. I would say exclusively the women that I've met in the last year or so are Matangi women. And it leaves open the question, which just came to my mind as I'm standing here, sitting here, waiting for the Pleiades to break over the hill. Where are the men? We're all asking this question, you know. Where on earth are the men? And recall that I said back in the spring that there was a relationship between the Venus-Jupiter conjunction of March in the sunset sky and the Venus-Jupiter conjunction of July in the morning sky. The former is the omen of the Hetaira, or the omen of pleasure and the unity of those two teachings, the guidance of pleasure and the pleasure of guidance. You could call it the omen of remembrance. It's really the omen of regathering. I prefer now to call it the omen of regathering. And since that moment, the gathering and recall and recollection and reunification of the Hetaira and the Gaian women has been ongoing intensely. But what about the men? What about the male counterparts? Well, I strongly suggest to you that the current omen, which is called the omen of deliverance, has a certain time value. It has a certain period of weeks to unfold. During this critical period of time, which started on July 4th, 4 days ago, it might be possible to understand what the fuck is wrong with men on this planet and what has to be done with this benighted gender. Now, I'm not going to go on a rant about this, but I will just say that I'm increasingly pissed off at men or the pathetic excuses that parade around this planet as men. Miserable creatures that they are, who do not rise to the challenge facing our species. The women have already recognized this challenge and are rising to this challenge. But where are the men? I just want to suggest, and this is just a wild guess, but that the emergence of the men is imminent, if there are any of them. I don't care if there's only two. I'll settle for two. On the whole planet, just two real men would be a huge relief. But it might just be that the emergence of these men under the current omen requires the deliverance of men from the catastrophic devastation of patriarchy, not only that they have perpetrated, but more poignantly, that has been perpetrated on them. And so the only men who are going to show up for this game, and especially the game the triple practice of Kala Tantra, love, war, and magic. The only men who are going to show up for this are men who can deliver themselves from the damage of patriarchy. It is a self-deliverance of men into heroism and real manhood, which is to say, blood simple, finding something worth dying for and living for that. And not for the things that men conventionally live for, which are worthless, stupid, and shameless. So this deliverance is at hand. And I would venture to say that the time delay between the coming of the Hetaira, and they're coming on strong, as far as I can see, coming at me in several directions at once here. The time delay between their emergence and that of the men might be related to the positions of Matangi and Kurukula in the dynamic configuration of the Shakti cluster. I'll make a wild proposal, and I will suggest, although I hate that word because it is a subliminal mind programming meme, but I will suggest to you, if I might, that just as guy and women rising to the call of correction respond to Matangi, Gayan men, if any exist at all, who respond to this call, will find their mission in alliance with Kurukula. And so the power and magic of Kurukula, the mystique of Kurukula, would, I suspect, emerge following the omen of deliverance. And that omen of deliverance is currently rising over the hillside at my house. There is Jupiter, right there, just appearing above the trees. Remember, Jupiter is the guru. Jupiter is the terma of Gaia awakening. There is no male figure. I told you that I myself am delivered from patriarchy. Come on, guys, join me. Join me. There is no male leader. There is no male mastermind. The eye in the triangle is blind. Patriarchy is on a blind course of self-destruction. Save yourself, save your manhood from patriarchy and dedicate it to the goddess. Dedicate it to the powers emanating from the eye of the bull. Hero and goddess always go together on this planet. The hero serves the goddess. The champion and the patriarchal monsters of psychopathy serve nothing but the insanity of the ego and the illusion of control. And this game is over. This game is over. And the only way that it continues to play is in the same way that the body of an eel continues to writhe and snap due to residual electricity after its head has been cut off. The galvanic, grotesque, and monstrous activities of the perpetrators, their charade of psychopathic warmongering, their insane eugenics program, is dissolving at the very moment that they would bring it to completion. And out of that chaos on the smoking field of the charnel ground of this experiment stand the real men. And I would like to see them stand up and name themselves and may Kurukula be with you. Whoever you are out there, whoever the real men are, one and all, may Kurukula be with you. The time has come. Now, in the remainder of this briefing, I'd like to speak more about the specifics of Channel 16. I will repeat just one more time the analogy of the 21-point connective cable. 16 of the frequencies running through those points plug into the 16 transmitting frequencies of the Shakti cluster. Have you got that? It's clear. So hold in your mind the idea of the 16-point connection. Channel 17, let's recall, does not connect to the 16-point configuration of relay. There remains then only one channel in the total console of the Shakti cluster to consider, channel 16. There are 16 channels occupied, leaving channel 16. How elegant is that? Now the head, or plug-in device, if you will, crude archonic metaphor, of pleromic relay has 21 pins. So there are 5 pins that are not engaged in the plug-in to transmitting frequencies. I propose to you that these 5 unengaged pins form a node that connects to channel 16, the purpose of which is to afford animals of the human species with a planet-wide field of active and voracious telepathic connection that can and does extend even to the pleroma itself. That's what I propose. Venus is Jupiter, excuse me. You see how easy it is for me to make this error for some reason. Jupiter's right up there, with the Pleiades off to the right. And there are these funny twinkling lights around it. I wish I could think of a better word for them. They're like colored sparks. They're like confetti, glittering confetti. This is a strange visual effect I observe as the Venus-Jupiter Pleiades alignment rises this morning. And I've observed the same thing before. Now, what then will occur over the next 2 months leading to September 7th as the full potential of pleromic relay comes into play? Under the close instruction that I've been receiving for more than 2 months now, I've had to find the vocabulary to describe what's developing. In order to provide the syntax for you to follow the experiment, I offer this vocabulary simply for its tentative or provisional value. I use the term Gaian psychotronics to describe the activation of potentials of the human animal in relation to the planetary mother animal. Gaian psychotronics would be a technology of mind and body realized in correction. It would not, in certain respect, be anything new. There are many precedents for Gaian psychotronics in native and indigenous cultures. The connection with animal powers, the recognition of the visionary and guiding role of animal powers for the human psyche is obviously the first one that comes to mind. A number of other shamanic capacities or shamanic skills, as they might be called, such as action at a distance, telekinesis, telepathy, clairvoyance, clairaudience, remote viewing, things of that sort. These are components in the toolkit of Gaian psychotronics. Channel 16 is that component of the Shakti cluster to operate as the emergence point for Gaian psychotronics. I'm not saying this very well, but I'm sitting out here in the dawn hours and just improvising as best I can. In the whole range of Gaian psychotronics, however, which are faculties that have to be tested by individuals and in groups and in teams and in couples. By the way, it's a point I want to emphasize now and certainly would bring up again in the future. In the development of these siddhis, as they're technically called, these occult faculties, some of the human species who select themselves into the experiment as it morphs toward Anthropos 11 are going to be in a position of empowerment, to use a crude New Age term. This empowerment has nothing to do with ascension and operating on higher frequencies and blah, blah, blah. And as a matter of fact, even connection with the sublime frequencies of the pleromic aeons has nothing to do with ascension or a higher vibration. On the contrary, it has to do with a lower vibration, a slower vibration, with ELF vibrations, extra low frequencies. The frequencies of the planetary animal mother are ELF frequencies in regard to those which we engage in correction. Love is an ELF frequency, animal love. Animal magnetism can be said to operate in an ELF band. And remember, love and the supernatural operate on the same frequencies. If you haven't had a glimpse so far of that principle, the second instruction in the Terma of Gaia Awakening, now is the moment when you may realize it and you may be able to understand that this is what your life from here on out is going to be about. If you can call it life anymore, anything that deserves to be called life involves the amplification and augmentation of these faculties. And that happens through the pleromic relay operating in channel 16. But there's also another purpose for channel 16. Remember that this channel in the Shakti cluster is located in an exact polarity to the channel used by Vivi herself. Look at that arrangement. Look at the diagram if you can find it. Sorry to be so play with you in that way. I'll look it up and give you the URL. when I have a moment. Actually, I'll tell you right now, if you go to metahistory.org, you click on the banner of Planetary Tantra, it brings you to the Planetary Tantra homepage, which is a sub-site within the main site. You go to the left-hand column, you'll find a menu tree. You click on Shakti Cluster in the menu tree, and it brings you to a page of a very initial rough draft of an opening essay on the Shakti Cluster. On that page, you will see two diagrams. First is the first draft I did of the Shakti Cluster, and then the second draft, which is the one we now use, which is the indented oval. There you will see the vertical axis, and there you will see how channel 18, VV zone transmitting frequency, and channel 16 stand polarically and dyadically at the very core of the Shakti Cluster. How can I describe what I would call the primary function of channel 16, which is its testing function? How can I describe it? Well, let's return to this analogy of the VCR connected by a cable, 21-point cable, to the TV monitor. You put in a CD-ROM with a program by Richard Attenborough on whales. And then you stand in front of the screen, and the data on that CD-ROM is carried by 16 different pins connected to 16 different wires. It's carried to the TV monitor and converted into audio and visual content. And so you see the whales, you hear the sound of the whales, you see them swimming and diving in the water, you see them underwater, but you're a passive observer of the whales. You can't talk to the whales, or you can't interact with them simply by standing there and looking at the screen. Now imagine that this device is not as we have it today, but is actually an interactive device, that the TV monitor you're looking at is not an archonic device of replication, but it's actually a window into the world of the whales. How do you, who are receiving content from the world of the whales, return content to them? How do you interact? Well, there are five more pins in the connecting cable, in the head of the connecting cable. And that means that there are five more lines that connect VCR to the image on the screen. Were this device to be totally interactive, you could stand in front of that window and you could speak, and the content inside the window would respond to you speaking. It would even respond to you thinking. Now, you know, people have already done this, and it's fortuitous that I use the comparison or the analogy of whales. So I could as well have used it of dolphins. I'm watching Jupiter go up here, and I'm watching Venus go up. Why do I continue to say this? I've got some kind of NLP glitch operating here. It's really bizarre. What I'm seeing at this exact instant is the planet Jupiter about 20 degrees above the hilltop, and the planet Venus just clearing the trees on the hilltop. And they are in perfect vertical alignment. Venus, of course, is 3 to 4 times larger and brighter than Jupiter. So, returning to this analogy, whales and dolphins, well, this is what people have done. You know, where the interactivity, the communication with whales and dolphins that some people have achieved, going back to John Lilly in the 70s, is an example of Gaian psychotronics. It's an example of the amplification and activation of our psychic and telepathic powers as animals, relative to other animals on this planet, and relative supremely so to the planetary mother animal herself. The moment has come in correction, when all that has been lost and repressed in regard to these faculties of interaction and communication is given back in a massive amplification. A massive amplification. It doesn't come back in dribs and drabs. It doesn't come back in a trickle. It comes back in a massive torrent. Due to the amplification of the electromagnetic field of the Earth and of the electrified colloids in the field of the Earth, that is to say, sentient creatures, as a result of pleuromic relay. So, Channel 16, among its various functions, which are fivefold, is the channel of outgoing or sending telepathy. And Channel 16 is the technology to be used when the Arconic technology goes down. Now, I, for one, don't want to see the Arconic technology go down completely. The problem with the Arconic technology of communication, that is Skype, telephones, wireless phones, computer communications through email, these recording devices and so forth, the problem with them is that we as a species do not develop them and use them within boundaries. We do not watch our boundaries. One of the first things that Vivi ever said to me was, watch your boundaries. Right now I see the star Aldebaran and the eye of the bull, looking very tiny, just like a pinpoint of light, clearing the trees on the hillside. It's slightly below Venus and offset to the right. So I can see the stem of this alignment now. It's like a bracket. You have to go out and look at this, you know, in the morning sky, and continue to look at it for the next 10 days if you can. Because you're looking at the observable evidence of the pleuromic relay, and it looks like a bracket, you know? Very interesting. This alignment will change, of course, as Venus moves to the left, that is, as viewed from the northern hemisphere, and begins to proceed out to the tip of the southern horn of the bull. On Channel 16, we were engaged in the correction process, consciously engaged, knowingly engaged, imaginatively engaged, can communicate with each other. We may continue to communicate with each other through this archonic technology, but this archonic technology is exaggerated and grotesque. It's been developed far beyond its actual usefulness. In a sane world, people would not be carrying around cell phones. Certain people in the medical and rescue services, or firemen, or people like that, would have cell phones. The rest of us don't need cell phones, you know. Cell phones are disgusting. And they contribute enormously to the electromagnetic pollution of the planet, which in turn is partially responsible for the atmospheric anomalies that are sometimes attributed to chemtrailing. So all this goes into the wash as correction proceeds. And if we're observing the process correctly, it's time for us, it's high time, to start anticipating how we can cultivate our own telepathic faculties with each other. And I have some telepathy with members of the crew that is, let me say, pretty irresistible. You know, some of you, I won't say of which gender, are sending messages to me that are quite vivid. And there's no doubt of your intentions as I receive these messages. So I take this as a really good sign that the human animals that we are reclaiming our telepathic capacities. But it even goes beyond telepathy. It goes into what I call telesentience, or sensing at a distance, telesentience. The Bushmen of the Kalahari had telesentience, as Lawrence van der Post describes. In fact, they're a model example, or they were, because they've been obliterated now. But they are a model example, as well as the Aborigines of Australia, of these psychotronic capacities that are now coming back to us in correction. The Bushmen could observe an animal far away across the Kalahari Desert, could observe the behavior and movement of an animal, for instance, the emergence of a certain reptile from its nest, even without being present to that animal. So they knew when to go to the place of that animal, to go to the lair of that animal, and that it would appear at its lair, or it would appear at the waterhole at the same moment that they did. This is telesentience. This is how we can meet each other. We can meet each other because we are those animals. We are the Kalahari of the future. We are the Kalahari Bushmen. Those in correction, we, when I say we, I never mean humanity at large. Humanity at large is being bleached out. And I have some particular things to say about that in the next briefing. Humanity at large is being bleached out of this experiment. Humanity at large, the zombies walking around this planet, are not going to miraculously wake up and experience telepathy, telesentience, telekinesis, and other wonderful and delightful faculties of Gaian psychotronics. No fucking way. They are going to go deeper into the anesthetic abyss of zombiehood. The cremation ground of Kali is a Disneyland of zombies. Okay? They're in a state of mental and moral anesthesia. They've already been put out of their misery. For them to die is just an after-the-fact event of no significance to anybody. Okay? You know, I might have struck a really bad note with people, either in the crew or anybody else listening to these talks, because I seem to have spoken of the die-off of this culture, die-off of Anthropos 10, in a manner that recalls or resonates the ravings of the eugenically demented psychopaths. But I'm not one of those eugenically demented psychopaths. I am not involved in any kind of program or visionary scheme of democide and eugenic depopulation on this planet. I am talking about her agenda for depopulation. Pam's agenda, not the agenda of the psychopaths. The agenda of the psychopaths is their psychotic fantasy. Will they achieve it? I don't know. They certainly want to try, and they're certainly trying. They certainly use every kind of biological, radiological, nuclear, biochemical toxin in order to deliver a killing dose to humanity. But their capacity to do that is trivial compared to the capacity of the divine Sophia to do the equivalent for her own purposes and in accord with her own designs. So look twice at what's happening in front of your eyes. Take a second look. I didn't mean to go off on that particular, wow, I can see them all now. It's absolutely brilliant. I didn't mean to go off on that particular rant. So let me come back to channel 16 again to conclude this briefing. Channel 16 is such a delightful topic. I had the experience of getting on channel 16 about 6 weeks ago. It happened while I was sitting right here on the terrace, exactly where I am now. And it happened in the afternoon, quite spontaneously. And I wasn't expecting it. And when it happened, I didn't even know I was on channel 16. I'd like to describe to you exactly how this experience came to me. First, I want to say, however, that among the active members of the Gaia Navigation Experiment, you, 380 of you, or however many there are left, who have an abandoned ship, you are now currently experiencing burst moments on channel 16. You are experiencing them strongly with me, the navigator, simply because your attention is on me. You're concentrating on me. I create anticipations to which you respond. Likewise, you create anticipations to which I respond. In these anticipations, in this play of anticipations, we are already in the process of brief and erratic bursts of telepathic intercommunication with each other. What I urge you to understand is that we can make that telecommunication across the planet coherent and verifiable by running it through channel 16. Do you get that? It's not random. It cannot be random. It may appear to be random at first. Suddenly I know, suddenly I sense vividly that I am receiving telepathy from a particular crew member. I know the name of that member because he or she has written me in an email. The email is just an archonic communication. After I read the email, I forget about it. Then, bingo, the telepathic communication is coming from that crew member. My telepathic communication is going back to them, and it is happening among yourselves. As correction advances now, as the pleromic relay sinks in and comes into full integration with the Bhima, we learn to use channel 16 as the central routing device for all our telepathy. Therefore, we will know that our telepathy has a common and universal veracity. It has a common and universal verifiability because we are all using the same router to perform it. Now, other people on the planet may be experiencing other kinds of telepathy. As the planetary animal mother wakes up, she activates us erotically. Many of you have been feeling that for the last few months, haven't you? The erotic craving that comes in correction is almost unbearable at moments. This erotic craving is not just a sexual erotic hunger for contact. It is the awakening of the full potential of your body and psyche, the full spectrum potential of the human animal. And that full spectrum potential includes these telepathic and telesentient faculties. As the faculties emerge, we train them to operate consistently. I can almost guarantee you that your experience of telepathy will shift into a new mode simply if you imagine that your telepathy coming and going is rooted through channel 16. Now let me tell you what my experience of channel 16 was like so that you might compare it to yours if you have had one or to any experiences that come your way in the near future. I was sitting here on the terrace, and I'm going to give you the analogy. You know, I was in my clairaudience. Now, I have this clairaudience. Remember that I said that clairaudience is an NLP disposition of stalkers, and clairvoyance, or seeing images, auditory or visual hallucinations, are an NLP disposition of dreamers. Auditory hallucinations, like I have, are an NLP disposition of stalkers. So the narwhal is a stalker sitting here on the terrace one day. Now, over here beside me, I have my 16-channel console called the Shakti Cluster. Never go anywhere without it, and it don't go anywhere without me. And so just imagine it's like one of those low flat radios that you could buy at Radio Shack and you could construct it yourself. It has a band of stations, and they're marked 1 through 16. There they are, 16 channels. And it has a round dial at one end, and I sit here and I can turn the dial. And this is what I do sitting on the terrace. So I turn the dial to, channel... Let's say I turn it to channel 13. Listening to Kurukula broadcast. And I hear the transmissions of Kurukula. And that is a broadcast that she makes for anybody who cares to listen. Then I turn the dial a little bit. And let's say I turn it to channel 2. Now I'm listening to Tara, the wrathful green Tara. The broadcast is explaining, is instructing, giving instruction on selection. On the selection process, and in fact, even on some points of transpeciation, although technically speaking, it's Vivi herself who teaches transpeciation, but the more generic and universal aspects of transpeciation could be picked up on a broadcast of channel 2 under Tara. I can listen to channel 1 all the time. I listen to that constantly. If you want to hear some really wild stuff, listen to channel 1, Kali. You get an idea of her style of delivery now, I think. Or I can tune around and I can listen to one of the Diamond Sky Dakini channels, like channel 11. What's the latest sublime, great romantic narrative being broadcast by Swan Deva? So here I sit on the terrace, turning the dial of my 16-channel console. Then I come up to channel 16, and I put the needle on channel 16, and what do I hear? Well, I don't hear anything, do I? Because even though the console is tuned to channel 16, and even though channel 16 is open and active like the remaining 15 channels, it's a sending channel and not a receiving channel. Now, how did I first know that I had turned the dial to channel 16? Very, very odd impression told me this. Let me continue this analogy of the console because I think it is really helpful. It's certainly helpful to me to come to terms with my own experience. I would correct my language. It was not a very, very odd impression that I had. It was an extremely subtle impression. Suppose that you're sitting there with the 16-channel console by your side, and you're turning the dial and listening to channel 7 or channel 1. Then you decide that you don't want to listen to the console at all. You don't want to listen to any channels. So you turn the console off. What happens if you turn the console off? Well, then you have radio silence. Radio silence due to the radio being turned off. Then you have white noise. This white noise is the normal noise of your mind. And white noise is a strange attractor. So the normal white noise of your mind, if you turn off the Shakti cluster console, will simply be flooded sooner or later by all the internal talk that is happening on the atmosphere, in the atmosphere, and all the internal talk that is happening in the minds of other people will bleed into your mind, and you will hear that chatter and that nonsense and that insane raving and those advertising jingles and those political slogans and those rants from your parents. That is all chatter that arises in the white noise of your mind, which is the noise that comes over your mind when you turn off the console. It's not silence, but you can mistake it for silence. Now suppose you turn the console back on again. And you turn the needle to channel 16. What do you hear? You hear the silence of channel 16. When I was sitting on the terrace that day, I heard in my clairaudient capacity the silence of channel 16. And I realized that it was not like the silence that I hear when I simply don't think. If you just sit and do the vipassana kind of trick of Buddhism and just allow your thoughts to dissipate so that for a certain few seconds you have no thought in your mind, your mind is silent. I'm familiar with that kind of silence, as you are. I was sitting here one afternoon and I heard a different kind of mental silence. And I thought, wow, the mental radio isn't off, it's on, but it's on a channel that's not broadcasting. So what do I do now? I turn and talk to the console with my mind, and I use channel 16 to send rather than to receive. This is the fantastic opportunity. This is the absolutely fantastic feature of the Shakti cluster, that it provides us with a universal routing circuit for telepathic transmission across the planet. And all transmissions that are routed through channel 16 will be pristine, intact, endurable, and repeatable to each other, so that we have telepathic coherence of the planetary animal. I don't say this is coming. I don't say this is something that might happen. I say this is happening right now. And the only thing that can occur from this point on is that it continues to happen more and more frequently, more and more vividly, and more coherently. If that is so, and if that proves to be the case, then your nav is reporting correctly. Your nav is giving you the correct orientation tools to enter into the correction of the divine Sophia. We talk no more about being human beings. We're beyond the state of human beings. We are returning to the state of human animals. But we are magical animals, the magical animals of the divine Sophia. To be that way is to be as she wishes us to be, according to her designs and her purposes.